We'd like to welcome you to our emergency freedom alerts for April 8th, 2024. I'll go ahead and open us up in the rotation war prayers, prayer to neutralize occult rituals. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the earth, seated at the right hand of the Father, we come in the authority given to us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We place a hedge of warring angels with flaming swords of fire around us and our families continuously. We put on the whole armor of God. We resist and renounce Satan, the god of this earth. We rise to war by the power of the Holy Spirit against witchcraft, occult maneuvers, and devices sent against your will and the body of Christ and the innocent. We ask you to dispatch legions of warring angels in full battle array to enforce our petitions and intercessory prayers. Rout your enemies on all fronts, O Lord. Turn their hatred, anger, accusations, conflict, arrogance, and wicked schemes upon themselves so that they become caught in their own snares and fall into the pits that they have intended for others. We nullify, cancel, and oppose every satanic operation, scheme, maneuver, and strategy. Cause secret plans, agendas, and motivations of the enemy to be revealed for everyone to see. We decree and declare that what these evil people and evil entities meant for wickedness, you will turn it around and use it for the good of your people. We close every evil portal that has been opened by them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood, we break and cancel every curse, spell, hex, vex, charm, enchantment, decree, spoken or unspoken, sent against the body of Christ, the innocent, and your intercessors by every witch, warlock, Satanist, sorcerer, voodoo, priest, shaman, soothsayer, medium, bruja, brujo, coven, and every minion of the devil working iniquity. May they fall into the very pits that they have dug for others. Lord Jesus, reveal your love to them and save those that can be saved. Show them the truth about who they're serving and their eternal destination if they continue in their present path. Open their minds, eyes, and ears to receive supernatural insight and knowledge to understand the truth of the gospel. Please bring them to salvation. We seal this prayer by the blood of the Lamb, and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Okay, so what I'm endeavoring to do today is kind of button up the last 3 weeks of teachings that I've done where we started talking about this eclipse, which when we first started talking about it, it was like, who knows, you know, what's gonna, but there's been a lot of things that have happened, starting with the lunar eclipse, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, roughly, and now leading up to this solar eclipse. And then looking at that 3-day window before and after the lunar and before and after any eclipse, which from an occultic standpoint, this is when they typically like to strike. And you've got, you know, you've got the Baltimore Bridge collapse. You've got the Moscow terrorist slaughter that was occurring within a 3-day window of the lunar eclipse. And you've had a lot of stuff since then. Really, I believe anything in that, in the time frame in between was kind of fair game as far as a from an occult standpoint, them trying to pull off as much as they possibly can, because there's not a whole lot that can be going on more right now for an occultist to be licking his chops over from an occultic standpoint. Okay, what they look, how they operate by their religion is what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about how a Christian operates. I'm talking about how they view things. And we're going to get into more stuff that I haven't even got into in the last 3 studies. I just keep being shown more and more about, just not about the eclipse or the lunar eclipse, but so much more regarding starting about at that lunar eclipse and then going into, now I gave you the occult calendar in a previous study. That's a whole other aspect to this thing that I'm not going to really be covering today, but in totality, if you look at the light and you can take this study in addition as kind of the last final buttoning up of this, not to say we're not going to report on a whole lot more in subsequent studies, but it's pretty amazing the amount of information. I don't know if I have ever seen a confluence of potential occultic events. Now, how they're looking at it as occultic, okay? How an occultist would look at this. I don't know if I've seen more of a, like a tidal wave of potential occultic confluences and events that could happen within a, I don't know, a more of a narrow window. I don't know if you take the 3 days after and the 3 days before the lunar eclipse and the 3 days after. I don't know. Say about a 21-day period, 20-day. I don't know if I've ever seen anything more where more things could pop off in my whole ministry. Now, I'm getting into more of this today, so if you're kind of rolling your eyes and saying, "Oh, come on," I mean, there's stuff I've left out that I didn't even know about regarding this, okay? And it's certainly a lot of stuff has popped off. I mean, a ton has happened, going back, starting at the Moscow massacre. It's pretty insane. So, having said that, let's just get right into this. I don't know if I'm gonna have more than one part today. I don't know. We'll see how the content goes. Current event headlines for just this last week: lead reports on Drudge, and then this last week, Israel kills top Iranian general. They literally attacked the consulate in Damascus, which is pretty much a no-no under the rules of war. You don't attack consulates, you don't attack embassies, these types of things. These are supposed to be places that are off limits, okay? They killed like two high ranking, I believe two high ranking generals there. I know they did one, and there was another high ranking one, and a whole bunch of other people. There was a big revenge warning, and I'm going to read that. Israel bombs Iranian ambassador's residence, and it's the Iranian ambassador's residence on the embassy grounds in Damascus, Syria. And there's a lot of stuff about Damascus in the Bible where it's going to be a ruinous heap, and that has never been fulfilled. So, the statement from the Iranian ambassador after this happened, okay, and this was just like in the last week here, the Iranian ambassador to Damascus, Hussein Akbari, he said, and this is an abbreviated version: the Zionist enemy does not respect any international norms. A number of Iranian advisors were in the building and were martyred. Well, they view it as martyred, like martyred for Allah. But they were, if there was any martyrdom occurred, it was, to the devil, moon god, pagan Allah, who they served, unfortunately. This act will be followed by our decisive response. That response has not come yet. Now, I don't know if they're. One of the things I saw is that typically when something like this happens, they'll go into a 3 day mourning period. And then on the 4th day, they'll attack. That didn't happen. That would have been, I believe, Friday. I cannot believe that there's not going to be a response to this, unless like the whole thing, them pulling out of, started to pull out of Palestine. Maybe that was part of the deal for them, or they were going to attack. I don't know. I have no clue. I'm totally speculating on that. The bottom line is, I think that Israel was getting a ton of international pressure to pull out of Gaza because of all the stuff that was going on there. I'm not going to really open up that can of worms. I've talked at length about that whole situation since it all started. Okay. There's blame on both sides. Okay. Now, I don't know. Maybe that was part of the deal where they're like, okay, we really, really, really look bad in the eyes of the international venue, purvey, whatever, and we're gonna go ahead and we're gonna, pull out of here, and then that'll give us some goodwill moving forward because we just did attack the Iranian embassy in Syria, Damascus, and that's a big no-no to do that. Now, whether that's just a ruse to say, "Oh, see, look, we're making an effort," and then Iran hits them hard, and then they go right back in to Gaza, saying, "Hey, we were trying to do the right thing," and then they attacked us. Well, they have every right to attack you because you did what you did, in the embassy in Iran. And I understand their justification, Israel's justification was, well, basically that was a farce, that was a front for they were basically that whole Iranian consulate in Damascus, Syria was just a front for where they were protecting terrorists. That was their excuse of why they did that. That may have been the case. I don't know. Okay. All I'm doing here is throwing out. I'm not trying to act like the be-all end-all expert on this particular subject. It's speculation. I don't know whether they're going to, Iran is waiting to coordinate something with possibly this eclipse, maybe something going along there when people will be caught more flat-footed. Who knows what's going to go on. I'm recording this on, I'm actually doing this early for me. So I'm not even at 8 o'clock, 8 p.m. on the 27th, but on the 7th of April, I'm going to post this. And by the time it gets posted, it'll probably be turning the 8th. I wanted to try to get this up, which is another reason I can't really do a three-part study. I want to try to get this up because this is more of a, it's more time sensitive is the word I'm looking for. I want to get this up and have this available, and I want to overwhelm my listeners with a ton of content. I just really want to focus in on this one subject for today, try to, you know, button this whole thing up, and then moving forward into next week, which probably I'm going to, we'll see. I'll either do a study of cataclysmic things happen, or I'll do a newsletter, because I've got so much content that needs to get out on a newsletter. It boggles the mind. Okay, so that's kind of where we're at. Now, what I also heard is that Israel was doing everything they could do to jam the signals for target acquisition by Iran. And that might be another big reason they didn't launch anything on the third day after this event, or the fourth day, which would have been kind of the norm. But if they were like, well, all of our missile target acquisition is not working, it's being jammed, well, then they couldn't do it. So they would have to push the plan forward, or maybe go to plan B. Okay, and what that is, I don't know. But let's see here. They're also blaming America along with Israel for this. Okay. So I just saw this thing today where in Michigan, they're chanting, they're right out in the open, they're chanting death to America. Death to America. Michigan protesters hold pro-Palestinian rally, condemn Israel and the U.S. And they're on American soil. These wonderful Muslims are screaming death to America. Now, and again, I'm not saying America is totally innocent either, because they're not either, okay? Nobody in any of these scenarios is really, you know, innocent little Bo Peep here, okay? But, so we have that going on. Going back to this attack of the consulate in Syria, Damascus, one comment read, Israel just threw out the rules-based order. They intentionally attacked the official sovereign territory residence of a recognized and properly credentialed diplomat in contravention of every diplomatic treaty and diplomatic norm. This is an actual act of war. Diplomacy no longer exists. From right now, there is only the sharp edge of military action. Well, we'll see. We'll see. And again, I don't know if Israel pulling out of, because that started to happen, and they're pulling, it says front page of Drudge, they're pulling out of Gaza. They're going to leave one, I don't know, regiment in there. We'll see how that all ends. Iran now has the right to retaliate against Israeli diplomats anywhere. And from what I was seeing, they were getting out of Dodge everywhere they could get out of Dodge, in a lot of different places. Okay. The rules are now out the window. Now, it's funny, the day that this happened, right before that, they interviewed this Colonel Douglas McGregor. He did an interview and he was warning, and this is before they attacked Iran, he warned that an attack on Iran would cause World War III and mass migration, even more mass migration. What Michael Yon refers to as HOP, H-O-P, human osmotic pressure. You create a war-torn hellish environment in a country, and people are desperate to get out. You know, like think of pre-Nazi Germany when they were starting to round up the Jews. You know, you would have been real motivated to get out of there if you could have. That's called human osmotic pressure. That will also be diverted into America and make the situation here even worse and elsewhere. But I thought that was ironic that he warned that exact day, right before this happened, this attack on the consulate, that an attack on Iran would cause World War III and more mass migration. Now, regarding the eclipse, more and more things in the last week about emergency declarations being declared and all kind of stuff going on here. No time ever in the history of my remembrance has an eclipse ever caused anything like this. Now, do I know if something big's gonna? No, I have no idea. I don't. All I can try to do as a watchman is to the best of my ability to prepare my listeners for maybe give them a heads up, an eventuality. A watchman's job is to warn. Okay, and the Bible talks about in Ezekiel 3 and 33, if the watchmen see the sword coming and warn not the city, then their blood will require at the watchman's hands. It's all I've ever claimed to be as a watchman. So I've got to warn about this. And if nothing else, let's say not a whole lot happens. Well, could it be that the prayers of the saints, the prayers of my listeners, I know a lot of my listeners are praying about this, are fasting about this, are doing spiritual warfare. Could it be that once again the hand of God was moved and prevented a whole lot of stuff? Or maybe it would have been a lot worse, whatever does happen tomorrow. So that's another thing. Okay. I mean, like I was talking about last week, you know, CERN gets shut down for like 2 years at a time. And this is something that we have consistently been praying about. And I kind of doubt if Benny Hinn or Kenneth Copeland or Creflo Give Me a Dollar or TD Fakes, who just got pulled into that whole P. Diddy thing. Which doesn't surprise me one bit, or the host of the other TBN. I doubt they're devoting 1 ounce of prayer to CERN. Or if they are, it's, you know, very little. We've been doing that for many years. Okay. And I'm not saying there's not other ministries that would be doing that, but it is something that I've emphasized. It is something to have in the prayer thing. That's just one of the points. But we'll see. We'll see what goes on tomorrow. Let me just see here. Okay, I just moved something around in my PDF. I like everything to flow as good as possible. Again, customized PDF for every single teaching I've put out, almost every single, I'd say 99 plus percent of every teaching I've ever put out since 2006. Okay, so quite a long time, about 18 years. Because I like you to be able to follow along, and if there's something you're like, well, what? I like to be able to give you the link to where it came from. Now, obviously, if you're listening to an older teaching, some of those links might not be working anymore, especially if it has anything to do with putting out truth, and a lot of those links have been sanitized off the internet. sometimes what you can do, though, is copy and paste the keywords for that particular story into a like a good search engine, like well, better. I mean, don't use Google, but like let me just kind of look at one of these. Let's see. Anyway, I'm trying to find my search engines, but none of them are really that great. Startpage is one of them. Swiss Cows is another one. I think DuckDuckGo is another one. OneSearch is another one. None of them are seriously great anymore. They're all pretty much sanitized, but some are better than others, and some are, I think, a lot less Big Brother than others. Anyway, I just wanted to at least kind of throw that out there. All right, let's go further here. Get back to this. Okay, so then what else do we have going on in the last week? Well, you had a 7.4 magnitude, which is a pretty very significant earthquake, shook off Taiwan, strongest in 25 years. Videos show the chaos, okay? Then the other day, you had a 4.8 magnitude quake rocking the tri-state, shakes New York City, quake felt by 40 million people. The Statue of Liberty shook and was struck by a huge lightning bolt. New York City UN meeting was interrupted. And it's weird because it was a 4.8 magnitude that hit New York City. 4.8. And then you've got the eclipse of 4.8, which is basically tomorrow. By the time you're hearing this, probably today. The eclipse is 4.8. The magnitude of the earthquake that struck New York City was 4.8. Exodus 4:8 says, and it shall come to pass if they will not believe thee. And this was regarding like Moses dealing with Pharaoh, Aaron and Moses dealing with Pharaoh, and that whole thing that happened, dealing with the Egyptians to let my people go, the Jews. And it shall come to pass if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. So just thought that was kind of noteworthy. That was Exodus 4:8. Okay. So I'm not being super dogmatic here. I'm not being Mr. Whatever. I'm just saying. I think it's kind of interesting. All right, now let's play our first video here. Okay, so this will give you a little bit of recap on some of the stuff I just mentioned.
Again, here we're on Brunswick Avenue. We have a resident here, David Fisher. He says that this felt like an explosion when it first went off.
At first, I felt the rumble with like a slight boom. So at first, I thought it was part of the construction.
Okay, so she said a slight boom. He felt like it was an explosion that went off. This is the New York City, this is that whole tri-state area earthquake that hit.
And the next thing you know, my boss comes in and she was like, "Oh my God, did you feel that?"
I don't think we're getting any storms after what has been an absolutely brutal week of weather in the city. I mean, Degan, some of the ugliest days in memory were Tuesday and Wednesday of this week. Would you not agree?
I would say a couple of days ago, I would not have used the word biblical.
4.8 earthquake tremors caught on cam across. I mean, right, Fox News, 4.8, again, 4.8. It's interesting.
I've used the word biblical, but today, biblical. It's been a biblical week.
You rarely hear a Fox newscaster use the term biblical.
City, nearly 60-mile-an-hour wind gusts. Look at this, lightning striking the Statue of Liberty in New York Harbor.
Now, that was April 3rd, evidently, when lightning struck the Statue of Liberty in the harbor there.
Picture is from here in New York, lightning striking the Statue of Liberty.
I mean, initially.
Huge Freemasonic symbol. And you can key in Statue of Liberty in the keyword search box at contendingfortruth.com. I've done, I believe, several studies where we've talked about that.
Within the first couple of seconds, the dogs reacted to something, and then within about a second or so, it felt like an explosion. Sounded like an explosion.
An explosion. Now, most earthquakes you hear about, there's not an explosion that you're hearing in conjunction with the earthquake.
You felt waves come up from underneath you.
Which would be more like an explosion if it was underneath you. So I'm not 100% sure what this whole earthquake thing, what's going on here.
And my initial reaction was that the furnace had exploded. So I yelled down to my son to check the furnace. He said everything was okay. He
That's
came.
not normal then. Most earthquakes, people don't, they just kind of start tremor, gets worse. Most earthquakes don't, I don't get these types, or I've never remembered hearing these types of testimonials about explosions.
The stairs, and then you felt the house shift back and forth, back and forth, back and forth for about 10 seconds. I've never felt anything like it.
And it's so interesting, the dogs felt it before you did. You said they started barking.
Right. Initially, they started barking. I would say
animals are way more sensitive to this kind of stuff. Birds, dogs, cat animals in general are just way more from up. I don't know, it's the way the Lord made them, you know.
1 or 2 seconds before you felt an explosion. I mean, you heard an explosion, and that's what I thought it was.
It hit New Jersey, it hit New York, it hit Philadelphia, even Vermont, all reporting feeling the trembling.
And I would say about 20 after 10, if that was the time,
Thank you.
there was a gigantic explosion sound. And it was like, I looked around the club, there were about 75 people here, and everybody was looking around. It's like, that's not normal. And then a couple of the United employees.
Another guy saying there's a gigantic explosion sound. What's going on here?
Came over my way, and one of them said, what was that? And somebody else said, I've never heard anything like that.
As a tremor.
See, I mean, so this goes on, but I wanted to kind of give you a little bit of a recap of the information we just covered. Now, let's go. Let's do a little bit more here. And, okay, so now we're going to hear from Reggie from Boston. We're going to get a little update from him on this whole thing.
This is what happens when they realize that most people are absolutely, completely asleep, dumbed down, and don't realize what's going on. They can say the truth right in front of your face, and you won't even hear it, for the most part.
The thing about this guy is he's always talking down to just, you know, it almost sounds like his listeners in general, but just, it's just always this constant down talking, this constant degrading. And it grates on me when I hear him. And this is why you don't hear me play a lot of clips from the guy. I mean, that and a whole other ton of other reasons, because he is a theological nightmare regarding whatever his weird belief systems are. I'm not saying he doesn't do any good ever. I'm not saying that, but it's a real minefield with Richie from Boston. Anyway, let's go further.
Earthquake in 140 years, John.
Look at all that. And it's not over yet, because we've got the Eclipse earthquake coming up on Monday. As Deborah Ross was telling us, it's going to be a transformative experience.
So did you hear that? This is Fox News. Strongest earthquake in 140 years hits northeast. Evidently, that was the 4.8. So that's pretty significant. Strongest earthquake in 140 years hits New York City area, tri-state area. And now they're laughing that we haven't even got to the Eclipse earthquake that's coming on Monday. They didn't try to correct themselves. They just kind of smiled and laughed. They both were smiling about it. They didn't try to correct anything, and they just go on. I'm going to play it again.
Got the Eclipse earthquake coming up on Monday. As Deborah Ross was telling us, it's going to be a transformative experience for anybody.
They're just like the Eclipse earthquake coming up on Monday. They're both just shaking their head and smiling. Yeah, well, we can't wait for it.
Who's in the area of totality?
So I'm assuming that the earthquake is going to occur primarily affecting the area of totality. Now, could this be the New Madrid fault line that was affected back in the 1800s, and that was like one of the largest? Actually, they're saying that that was the quakes that were felt there, although they did not have seismic equipment. I just did a whole bunch more research on that today. They were saying that those quakes could have easily been upwards into the 8 range. Really, really, really significant. Caused the Mississippi River to flow backwards, okay? Created like lakes, there was over 1,000 deaths, and that's back when there was only one person per kilometer on average in the land. It wasn't a very highly populated area. So if that happened now, it would be super significant, you know, especially people were in high rises and things of this nature. There were whole swamps created that were farmland. There were farmland that were created that turned into swamps. Lakes were created. The Mississippi River flowed backwards. Tons of deaths. Really, really significant earthquake. Okay. And the area of totality goes over the New Madrid fault line, which is where the eclipse is going to go over. Then the Devil Comet, and I reported on this in a previous study, the Pepin-Brooks comet, okay, that's also going to be viewed tomorrow during the solar eclipse, or be able to be viewed. That came right after, like within 4 or 5 months of the New Madrid quakes in the 1800s. I believe it's like a 71-year cycle. And that was when it was first viewed. Right after the New Madrid quakes. I believe it was over like a year period there on the New Madrid ones. I got into that in like the last study or the one before that. All the information's on that if you want to know more about that. So there's so many things to try to keep track of with this subject that it's like I'm trying to juggle like 98 balls at once when I'm trying to report on this subject, because there's so many things that could potentially relate that I'm trying to keep you aware of. It's crazy.
So yeah, that just happened. That really just happened. For whatever reason, the mainstream news talking head dude decided to tell us that there would be an earthquake during the eclipse. Now, let me show you a couple of crazy little wacky things. I find it
borderline zany things.
Very, very odd that many people that actually lived in the area either said that it sounded like an explosion that was an earthquake type feeling thing afterwards. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it was a 4.8. January, right. February, March, April, the mm-hmm. fourth month of the year.
Right.
The 8th. Really, dude? I mean, right directly, straight up in front of our faces. And then, don't forget that we've got the Statue of Liberty getting hit by lightning and the mainstream once again reporting, it looks like lightning's coming down from the sky, but then it also looks like it's coming out of the yeah. torch up into the sky. Yeah,
he's got a really good picture of it getting struck.
That's a strange mm-hmm. thing to say. It's just an odd, strange thing to say.
Yeah.
So let's tally up here. The eclipse is coming on the 4/8. It's coming with the Devil Comet connected to it, which right. is just a strange, odd, unusual, queer thing.
And I got into that at length, all the things, the Beepons Brook Devil Comet, all the new, how it relates to the New Madrid in previous studies. We're going to talk a little bit about it today, but not very much, because I can't just recover that same ground. So again, if this is the first one you're hearing, you might want to like binge listen. Like my... Granted, you'd only have to like probably listen to like part one of my last three studies, including this one, maybe some into part two, to really get, because I did all of it wasn't just this stuff, but in order to like really bring yourself up to speed, if this was the first time you're listening, I would do that in order, like from the oldest to the one now, like the one 3 weeks ago, and then this one last. Because we covered this whole subject every way I could cover it.
It's a 4.8, which happens to be the exact date of the eclipse.
Right.
And then magically, suddenly, and out of the blue, Sicily's Mount Etna starts blowing rare smoke rings into the sky. Which is just weird.
Yeah, the footage of that is just so insane. It is this perfect rope smoke ring that is gigantic, that I evidently Mount Etna is blowing smoke rings. Like a guy with a cigarette who can blow smoke rings. Well, this is like that on quadruple steroids.
I mean, look at these things. These are coming out of a volcano in Sicily.
It's crazy.
It's blowing smoke rings.
Okay, so we have that. All right, and again, all I'm really trying to do is kind of give you a little bit of a recap there. Then we have this just breaking. Local Northeast Pennsylvania Scranton Airport told mass movement of military helicopters to Philadelphia. Something strange is very wrong with this picture. Disaster declarations in numerous states. Emergency crews ordered to stand by. This has all been verified too. And then New York Harbor merchant vessel loses power. There was another one that lost power, but it was grabbed by tugboats before reaching the Verrazano Narrows Bridge. That could have been another gigantic disaster, okay, that was nearly averted, thank God. Here's the thing from the 70 military helicopters flying through Wilkes-Barre Scranton International Airport's report 70 military helicopters be flying through the airport this weekend. And then the United States military has informed Scranton PA Airport there will be several large movements of military helicopters from Rome, New York, toward Philadelphia area today and Monday, but they won't say why. Well, they said it was an exercise and there's nothing to be afraid of. And maybe that's all it is, okay? Maybe it's pre-positioning because they know something's going to be going down. It's kind of hard to say. But from a watchman standpoint, I have to, you know, at least mention this. Apparently, the mass movement began yesterday, although I have not heard or seen any helicopters here at my bug-out location in Scranton. This is from Hal Turner. I don't normally quote a lot, but this can be verified. This is happening from Hal Turner. Sometimes he gets it right, and sometimes he gets it, many, many times he gets it so dramatically, incredibly wrong. And there's never an apology forthcoming, ever, okay? Ever. He'll just gripe about all the people that call him out on it and then threaten to pick up his toys and go home because he's mad because, you know, people are calling him out on all of his false predictions. Well, Hal, that's what happens when you put out, you know, 9,000 false predictions and, you know, they don't come to pass. Because if everything he said would have come to pass, we would have all been dead and gone a long, long time ago. Okay. Very, very long time. Anyway. But he goes on to say, why do I think this has something to do with the eclipse tomorrow? Why do I have this nagging feeling there's an awful lot more to this than we've been told? Why move 70 military helicopters of all types? They won't say a lot about it. There's something wrong with this picture. Disaster declarations in numerous states, emergency crews ordered to stand by, National Guard troops being mobilized, Red Cross asking for urgent blood donations. Huh, there's something going on here. Yeah, and where there's smoke, there's fire. And this is why I'm glad this is my fourth week of warning about this particular thing. If nothing else, for my listeners to be praying about it, because that may avert everything, you know, or a lot. You know, so let's go further. Okay, we covered all that. And this is interesting. A listener just emailed me about this today. Now, I elaborated a lot. He kind of, this was mentioned and I meant to put it in the study. And then he sent this to me. And I'm like, ah, this is what I needed as a reminder to do a little section on this. Listener comment. Did you know Aleister Crowley wrote the Book of Thelma, which is kind of like their Bible for, I believe, the OTO, the Ordo Templar Orientis, which I've done several teachings on. My mom had a friend, Betty, that was involved in it. Her sister, her daughter was, and she died. She was slaughtered, basically sacrificed and found in a trunk of a car. But yeah, if you can, like OTO or Ordo Templar Orientis, I've done many studies on that. But anyway, Aleister Crowley, the great beast, the 666, he called himself, wrote this book of Thelma, which was dictated to him by this demonic, probably fallen angelic entity called Awas, which looks very, very much like the bulbous-headed, you know, kind of a combination of a large gray and a small gray, bulbous-headed alien, who he says was his guardian angel. Anyway, that dictated the book through his witch wife, medium, and that's just how they wrote this book of Thelma. But did you know he did it on April 8th? The 9th and the 10th in 1904. And a history lesson on the subject, which I kind of expanded on what he sent me the link. Now, from the link he sent me, he said it's straight from the horse's mouth. I copied and pasted this. The religion known as Thelma was established with the writing of the Book of the Law. Now, you have to understand, this guy, Aleister Crowley, has influenced more people. More people in Hollywood, more people in the music industry in particular. I mean, he was on the cover, on the back cover of the Beatles album. I think Sgt. Pepper, Lonely Heart Club's Band. He was one of the guys on the back cover. Now, this is a guy that was so evil, and who knows how many children he sacrificed. But he would say in his writings that the highest form of human sacrifice is an infant boy. And you do these unspeakable things to them sexually to defile them, and you vampirize their innocence, and this is how you gain power. And I'm kind of giving you the sanitized version. I'm sure he did it to girls too, infant girls. And this is the kind of devil, scum, deviant maggot that literally scores of people in Hollywood, in the music industries, and elsewhere, I'm sure in politics, follow to this day. Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. Meaning, if this is where you get the whole 60s counterculture. Had a lot to do with that. If it feels good, do it, man. Groovy. This is where you get that. A lot of it's from Aleister Crowley because he influenced these people that I mentioned, particularly a lot of the people in the music industries, and the songs were worded that way. And he inspired a lot of devils, a lot of devils, a lot of wicked, evil people, a lot of wicked, evil institutions. Okay. He's a really big deal. I can't even imagine the punishment that is being exacted from him in hell, because you reap what you sow. And what he did was bad enough, but who he influenced and who he continues to influence, which are doing more and more evil because of his writings and this book of Thelma to this day, it's hard to comprehend. This goes to say, this year we celebrate, I changed it because I made it accurate. We would be celebrating the 120th anniversary of the writing of the book of the law, which is this Thelma. Okay, yeah. Received by Aleister Crowley and his wife Rose as the witch medium, who I believe was the medium conduit for. Crowley claims that the author's entity was Awass, A-I-W-A-S-S, which again was like that bulbous-headed, weird, gray alien-looking thing that appeared to him. And it's funny, prior to that, this is another thing about that, I don't believe there was hardly ever any sightings of like gray aliens or alien abductions and things of this nature. But it was after this AWAS appeared. Now, I'm not saying that it was out the, but we see now these gray alien entities, some are tall grays, some are short grays. They're always evil. And we've seen an explosion of that in the 1900s and into our, the time we're living in now. The book contains three chapters, each of which were transcribed in an hour, beginning at noon on April 8th, 1904, April 8th again, 9th and 10th in Cairo, Egypt, in the year 1904. The teachings within this book are clearly expressed in the Law of Thelma, which is mainly, do what thou wilt should be the whole of the law. So again, how can I equate that to the Bible? Well, okay, how can I equate that to the Bible? If it feels good, do it. Do what thou wilt should be. Whatever your heart's telling you to do, do it. And the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? If your heart is not led of God, if the Holy Spirit's not dwelling in you, that's a real bad. A lot of people follow their heart. But what does the world tell you to do? Oh, follow your heart. It'll never deceive you. That's a lie from the pit of hell. The Bible says, he who trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Proverbs 28:26. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Okay? And that's what seems right. My heart's telling me to do it, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Okay, so this is absolutely the backbone. The 100% backbone. And really, you look at the Satanic Bible, it's basically just a continuation of this. You know, it's the opposite of the Bible with Aleister Crowley, who I'm sure was inspired by him as well. If it feels good, do it. And that includes child molestation or whatever your little wicked heart desires. It's why a lot of people justify doing what they're doing. Because of Crowley. As Crowley writes in his book, Confessions, I was bound to admit that Awass had shown a knowledge of the Kabbalah, the highest form of Jewish mysticism / witchcraft known to man. And many of the people in Hollywood are like Madonna and these people that wear the red strings on their wrists. Yeah. Got into that many, many times. Yeah, the Kabbalah practitioners that wear those red strings on their wrists. I was bound to admit that AWOS had shown a knowledge of the Kabbalah immeasurably superior to my own. Well, why? Because, well, he was a devil, he was a demon, he was a fallen angel, whatever he was. And he had, obviously, a greater knowledge of the occult than Aleister Crowley did. Aleister Crowley was pretty young at this age. You know, he had just gotten married. This was his honeymoon. He was taken in Cairo, Egypt, and the Great Pyramids and all this other stuff. He was, well, we'll get to that in a second. The marriage only lasted maybe a couple years. I can't imagine why, you know, can't imagine it wasn't, you know, paradise with Aleister Crowley. He goes on to say, and we're forced to conclude that the author of the Book of the Law, which is AWOS, is an intelligence both alien, he uses that word alien, this is a direct quote from him, and superior to myself, yet acquainted with my inmost secrets. Yeah, because those devils and demons that are emanating and operating, that are possessing Aleister Crowley, they can talk to AWOS real easy and let him know all your innermost secrets. It's how psychics work. It's how a lot of that stuff works in witchcraft. All it is demons talking to the witch, whatever, reading your fortune. That's all it is, okay? On March 16th, now this is March 16th, not April, March 16th, 1904, in the King's Chamber at the Great Pyramid of Giza. That's when he was in the King's Chamber at the Great Pyramid of Giza in Egypt. Aleister Crowley attempted to show Sliffs to his wife. Sliffs. I'll just call them Sliffs. To his wife, Rose Edith Kelly. Sliffs are invisible and ethereal demonic beings who live in the air and have supernatural intelligence and foresight. So he was trying to show his wife these things in the King's Chamber. She couldn't see them, but she entered a trance. Now, this was in the King's Chamber in the Pyramid of Giza. Big deal from an occultic standpoint. She entered into a trance there and repeatedly told her husband, they're waiting for you. It's a quote. Crowley didn't pay much attention to it until 2 days later on March 18th, after invoking the god Thoth, who is extremely high level, horrible, wicked deity. His Rose, meaning his wife, told him that the one waiting for him was actually Horus. To confirm this, Crowley took her to the Bulaq Museum, which was nearby their honeymoon suite, where he asked her to point out Horus to him, because she didn't know what Horus even looked like. So he's like, well, I'm going to take her to the museum, keep her honest, and I'm going to ask her to point out who Horus looks like in this museum. She doesn't know, but evidently she had a vision of what he looked like. Okay. After passing many depictions of the Egyptian god, Rose pointed to the depiction of Horus on the stele of Ankh-Fen-Khonsu, also known as the Stele of Revealing. Now, a stele is an upright stone slab or pillar with an inscription or design. This is a very old thing she pointed to, okay, in this Egyptian Bulaq Museum. On the front side of the stele can be seen a priest of Montu presenting offerings to the falcon-headed god known as Re-Harakhti, which was a fusion of the ancient Egyptian gods Ra and Horus. So, from a demonic standpoint, she'd already seen this thing in some kind of vision. So it was easy for her to point out this stele with this fusion of the gods Ra and Horus. They were seated on a throne in this stele. At the time, the stele was numbered, guess what? 666. It was exhibition number 666 in this Egyptian museum known as the Bulaq Museum. Imagine that. The stele was numbered 666, the number of the beast, which he took upon himself to call himself, which was the significance to Crowley since his childhood. Following this event on March 20th, Crowley invoked Horus successfully then. And 3 days later, he began translating hieroglyphs on the steel of revealing until April 7th, when Rose instructed Crowley to, quote, enter the temple at noon for an hour over the course of the following 3 days and write down what he heard. Now, I'm assuming that temple was the temple, the king's chamber at the Pyramid of Giza. That was where he was going to go get this download. Okay. He had already been there on March 16th, 1904, the king's chamber under the Great Pyramid of Giza. But she said that Rose instructed Crowley to enter the, quote, temple at noon for an hour over the course of the following 3 days and write down what he heard on April 8th. Starting on April 8th, again, significant to tomorrow or today, April 8th, April 8th, 9th, and 10th of April 1904, in the heat and mystical fire of Egypt in Cairo, Aleister Crowley wrote the book which ushered in the Aeon of Horus, which is the age of Horus, of which would become the central scripture of the new religious movement known as Thelma. And if you can boil that down to one thing, what was it? Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. Whatever you want to do, do it. If it feels good, do it. What if it doesn't feel good to the person you're doing it to, though? Oh, that doesn't matter. That's irrelevant. If it feels good to you, do it. Doesn't matter if you're stepping on some stones. Hey, in order to make an omelet, you got to crack a few eggs. You know? Yeah, you got to kill a few babies. You got to kill, you know, have some animal sacrifices. You got to rape, steal, kill, and pillage. Do whatever. Whatever, as long as it feels good. Absolute total insanity. I've talked a lot about this concept in previous studies, okay? I don't know if I've ever done a dedicated section like this on Aleister Crowley, though. I believe this heavily relates to this study today, and you'll see why, because we're going to talk a lot about, are we going into another age here? Are we actually going out of the age of Pisces into the age of Aquarius, like the occultists talk about, where we're going to go into the... We're going to go from the old world order, which has to be burned down in order to bring us into the new world order, like a phoenix rising out of its own ashes. Now, this is all occult stuff. This is what they would say. Does this eclipse represent the turning of that, the transition of that? I don't know. But I've seen some pretty compelling arguments that it may have a lot to do with it. Regardless of what happens tomorrow, we don't know what's going on in a spiritual realm either. But we'll see. Is this the true dawning of the Aeon of Horus? I don't know. They believe that it was back then in 1904 that this ushered in the new Aeon of Horus, Age of Horus, which would become the central scripture of the new religious movement known as Thelma. Under the directions of his wife, Rose Edith Kelly, during these 3 days, Crowley sat in his room at noon. Now, his room doesn't imply it's the temple, so I'm a little confused, but anyway. Sat in his room at noon and spent an hour writing down messages for mankind, supposedly, dictated by a shadow behind him. The shadow was a non-physical intelligence, AWAS, the minister of Hor-Par-Krat, whatever that is. And Crowley's own, he calls it holy, I call it heli, guardian angel. That's what AWAS claimed to be. Oh, yeah. So I wanted to, we're going to get more into this today. I wanted to throw that in. I think that's noteworthy. And the fact that he did it 120 years ago, he started this process on April 8th, might be noteworthy. Now, here's some other things. And this is more of another recap. 8 extremely unusual events that will happen during the month of April. Now, some of this I've covered, some of it I haven't. But again, a good recap to kind of like just tie it all together. Number one, as we enter into the month of April, the Devil Comet has become visible to the naked eye in the northern hemisphere. Okay, and it will be more visible during the actual eclipse. 2, on April 4th, there was an extraordinary alignment of 4 planets. just 4 days before the Great American Eclipse of 2024. The next planetary alignment takes place, well, it already took place on April 4, 2024. And it featured four planets, Venus, Neptune, Saturn, and Mars. The planets will align in the morning sky. Venus, Saturn, and Mars will be visible to the naked eye, but you'll need a telescope or high-powered binoculars to see Neptune. Again, already happened, but noteworthy. This is what I'm saying from an occultist standpoint. This is like a smorgasbord of stuff to try to work witchcraft from. Okay? I'm not saying that this is how Christian lives their life. I'm saying this is how they live their life and their religion. Number three, on April 8th, seven other planets, which is basically, when you're hearing this, April 8th, today, seven other planets in the solar system, along with the sun and the moon, will appear to form a straight line in the sky when looking from Jerusalem toward the east. Really? And that's on April 8th. How often does that occur? I mean, seven other planets in the solar system, along with the sun and the moon, will appear to form a straight line in the sky when looking from Jerusalem. I'm not elaborating on this stuff. I give you the link if you want to look at it more. I'm trying to kind of get through this. Keep it all tied together. Number four, also on April 8th, CERN is planning to fire up the Large Hadron Collider. We're going to talk more about that today. Number five, the most anticipated event of April is the Great American Eclipse. And again, that's what, you know, that's basically when you're hearing this will be the day you're hearing it, April 8th of 2024, if you hear it on the 8th. USA Today is calling it the, quote, the astronomical event of the decade. This isn't going to happen until like 20 more years from now. Another eclipse like this across America. Six, as the eclipse passes over America on April 8th, NASA will be firing three rockets into the moon's shadow. And we talked a lot about that in the last study, all the occult stuff there. Seven, ominously, on April 8th, the Great American Eclipse of 2024 will complete a giant X over the New Madrid Fault Zone that the Great American Eclipse of 2017 began. So where X marks the spot, which I think is like the, isn't it called like Little Egypt, also over the New Madrid Fault Zone, which was the thing that went off like crazy over an 8.0 magnitude earthquakes back in the 1800s, early 1800s. And the Devil Comet was part of that sighting. I don't know. But then we heard the newscaster saying we're waiting for the eclipse on the April 8th eclipse, or the April 8th eclipse earthquake that we just heard. Oh, interesting. Again, I'm not being dogmatic. I'm not saying it's going to happen. Again, how much would the prayers of the saints affect something like this? I know it can move mountains, but we'll see. I feel so strongly about this whole X thing, and this is Michael Snyder, that I put this on the cover of my latest book. It's called Chaos. And you can see it. It's kind of like the path is kind of the paths of these eclipses. Oh, yeah, I guess it is the paths of the eclipses. Okay, yeah. And then, eighth, during the month of April, we have the cicada apocalypse is coming. As I discussed earlier this year, for the first time since Thomas Jefferson was president, billions of 13-year-old cicadas and billions of 17-year-old cicadas will emerge from the ground simultaneously. Yes, at the same time. Billions and even trillions of cicadas are going to emerge at the same time across 17 states, says Chris Simon, a professor of UConn's Department of Ecology and Evolutionary Biology, as he told Live Science. Shockingly, the emergence of these two groups will overlap in central Illinois. What's more, this year's cicada groups, known as Brood 13 and Brood 19, happen to make their homes adjacent to one another with a narrow overlap in central Illinois. So heads up for Illinois, heads up for anybody in the New Madrid Fault Zone. Again, I got into all these areas in the previous studies here, where those areas are. By now, most of you already know that the path of the Great American Eclipse of 2024 overlaps the path of the Great American Eclipse of 2017 in Illinois. In addition to everything I have already covered, many on social media are speculating that a red heifer sacrifice could take place at some point during the month of April as well. Yeah, because you've only got a narrow window. They got 3 to 5 red heifers, okay? The moment one white hair essentially comes out of any follicle, they're disqualified. And then there's all this other stuff that can disqualify them. So it's not, and that happens as they age, when they get in their fourth and fifth year. So they've only got a narrow window to get the sacrifice thing kicked off. And it's so rare that it hasn't occurred for over 2,000 years when Moses was around. So they're going to be highly motivated to get that done as well. And they're saying it could occur potentially in Passover of this month, which would be the 22nd. I don't know. We'll see. Another report here. So let's go further. U.S. Army issues solar eclipse warning to stay away from dams and bridges. This just broke as well.
Right. But you can see here, this warning was just issued by the Army. And there was also just a state of emergency declared in Arkansas. Right, so the U.S. Army Corps of Engineer in Arkansas.
It's Corps. It looks like it's Corps, C-O-R-P-S, but it's Corps. It's like a silent. Well, it doesn't. You don't pronounce it how it looks, so it's understandable how people would misunderstand that.
Is warning of this, and they are saying that people need to stay off bridges and dams. All right, you can see here it says Army Corps of Engineers sounds caution about traffic on Arkansas dams and bridges during the eclipse. All right, and we also,
I mean, if you think about this, in an eclipse, okay, you've got the moon getting, which is 400 times smaller than the sun, and they get exactly in the path of one another. It's 400 times smaller, but it's also a lot closer. So it can actually obscure the sun for a very brief period of time, and that's called a total solar eclipse. But if you think about it, if Earth is rotating around the sun, and the thing that's keeping us in that orbit is the sun and its gravitational pull, and then you have the moon, which also orbits Earth, but also influences us from a gravitational standpoint by quite a bit. I mean, our tides are influenced by it, all this other stuff. And then they come and they're literally like in line with one another. I could see how, yeah, an eclipse would affect us from a seismic, from a gravitational type of situation, potentially. There's, you know, it just makes sense.
Just had in Arkansas as well, a state of emergency was just declared by the governor. All right, you can see here it says Arkansas governor issues state of emergency due to travel impacts for Great American Eclipse. All right, so are they potentially preparing for some kind of disruptions to bridges or dams that people have to travel across? Right, are they anticipating some kind of disruption? There's definitely going to be a lot of people, and they probably don't have that many people normally on these bridges as well.
I mean, every time I turn around, they're listening. Some other state is issuing some other, Niagara Falls issued some big emergency as well.
And that could be overwhelming them. It also could cause a lot of traffic. And there's also things like with dams, there's potentially gravitational pull effects from the moon and the sun aligning, right? We know that the moon is the main cause of the movement of tides, right? And dams are essentially giant walls to block water, rivers, lakes, right? So there could be a pool in that area during the solar eclipse that it normally doesn't have a gravitational pull on the water there. That's stressing out the dams too much. So maybe they don't want people on them for that as well, right? So this is serious enough for the U.S. Army to issue this warning, and they're the ones that made.
Yeah, he's showing the actual Army Corps of Engineers sounds caution about traffic on Arkansas dams, bridges, and during eclipse.
A lot of the dams and waterways and water systems, the Army Corps of Engineers they are the ones that maintain it and keep it working. Right?
So, I don't know how the Army Corps of Engineers, I mean, it's a whole bunch of corpses that are kind of reanimated and they just do their thing. I mean, I don't know how they maintain these bridges and these dams. I mean, being a corpse is tough, but they figured out a way to do it and they're doing a yeoman's job. So, you know, more power to them.
Listen to this warning. It's another warning. Put this in your warning bucket for this eclipse. These are the strangest warnings we've seen in decades. I've never seen all these different types of warnings that they have for this.
It's crazy.
And there's also things going on with our atmosphere and with our ionosphere as well that could potentially be causing geological issues, right? So
okay, so that goes on about the 60-minute mark if you want to hear more there. I'm trying to just really cherry pick and give you the, because a lot of this I've already covered. Major events surrounding the April 8th solar eclipse and afterwards. Is this the official end to the age of Pisces to then commence the age of Aquarius, where the New World Order will emerge with the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the ascended masters? I mean, I'm really wondering, after what I'm hearing, that they're viewing this as a really big deal, the occultists are. Okay, so this is InfoWars, just a brief video, kind of a recap, glean. This is one of those glean videos because InfoWars is theologically extremely messed up, but I'll be commenting on that along the way.
The solar eclipse on April 8th is becoming a major event. The National Guard is being deployed, and the people are being advised to have 2 weeks of food and to fill their fuel tanks. This could all be explained due to the fact that tens of thousands of visitors are expected along the path of totality. But many people believe that they could be preparing for possible earthquakes due to the Devil Comet aligning with the April 8th eclipse, and due to the fact that in 1811,
right,
a comet also appeared in the skies during a solar eclipse on the same path and was followed by the biggest earthquakes in American history.
Well, that's the same Devil Comet that if he's talking about the New Madrid, it came after. I mean, I really broke down the research on that. It did come after, but it was in proximity to the New Madrid horrific 8.0 plus quakes of the early 1800s.
As the New Madrid earthquakes, around 10,000 earthquakes occurred in just 3 months' time.
Yeah, 1811.
The biggest being measured at 8.8 magnitude.
1811. It's December of 1811 to February of 1812. The Pepin's Brook comet, which was the first time it was sighted, was actually seen, I believe, in June or July of 1812. Okay, so it wasn't during that, but it was in proximity there.
They were.
Okay, no, they're. I believe they estimated those to be 8.0 plus earthquakes.
Devastating series of earthquakes in recorded history. But it was a different comet. And while some claim that a solar eclipse.
No, it wasn't. Not. I mean, if there was a comet during that, I wasn't aware of that. But the Pepin's Brooks definitely appeared after that in 1812. Okay. But it wasn't during it, it was after.
Trigger earthquakes. This scenario seems unlikely. This eclipse season is, however, a very rare event. The recent eclipses in August of 2017 and October of 2023.
And again, the symbol on that Michael Snyder's book, if you look at the path of these three different eclipses, there's one, the one of, let's see here, an annular solar eclipse of October 14, 2023, and then the total solar eclipse of 2017, August 21st, and then the one we're going to get ready for tomorrow of April 8th. When you look at the symbol it makes across America, yeah, there's the whole Hebrew letter thing, the beginning and the end, but it also forms what is known in the occult as an anarchy symbol. It's like a it's like a capital A, but it's kind of in a stylized way. An anarchy symbol, if you see that on a public, it's typically where there a human sacrifice has occurred, okay? An occultist in the know. Now, some of them might just be putting it to say, oh, it looks cool. But the occultists in the know will put an anarchy symbol, which means basically like chaos, which is what Michael Snyder's book's called. They'll put an anarchy symbol where they've performed some type of sacrifice, whether it's animal or human, okay, to like charge the area or further charge the area and to let the other occultists know what's going on. So you wonder if there is going to be a mass casualty event, because this is the last slash of the A that has to occur to actually look like an anarchist. Now, I haven't heard anybody talk about what I just said, not the anarchy symbol. I've heard the whole last and in first and last of the Hebrew alphabet. I've heard that one, but the anarchy symbol, I have not heard anybody talk about up to this point. Now, does that mean we're going to have a ton of deaths tomorrow, or from a occultic standpoint, would that be what they would like to happen? I don't know. We'll see.
The upcoming one on April 8th forms an Aleph and a Tav over the United States. The Aleph and Tav are the first and last letters of the Hebrew alphabet, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end.
Mm-hmm.
These eclipses... Yep. Mark the end of the great year, a 26,000 year period.
That's garbage, because 26,000, but this is what an occultist would tell you.
That starts anew with the dawning of Aquarius and a new golden age.
Again, is this what they're viewing as finally the start of the age of Aquarius? That song from the 60s, this is the dawning of the age of Aquarius, okay? Out of the age of Pisces, dominated by who they refer to as Christ, to the age of Aquarius. We're going to go in this golden age, this new world order, where the Antichrist and false prophet and the ascended masters are going to make their big debut that I've been talking about. You heard me talk about Maitreya and the ascended masters ever since I've been in ministry, going back to 2006. So are we on the cusp of that?
Only P. Hall wrote that high-level Masons designed America for a peculiar and particular purpose,
right?
A secret destiny to bring about a new Atlantis or a new world order, wherein a king descended of a divine race will rule over all. In rituals, this king is symbolized as Apollo, Horus, or Nimrod.
Oh, there we go with Horus again.
Father of Freemasonry, and is thought to be a descendant of the biblical Nephilim or the Sumerian Anunnaki.
Right.
According to Thomas Horn, this will happen in 2025, which corresponds to several...
Yeah, Thomas Horn passed away recently, but yeah, he's got a book called Zeitgeist 2025.
...documents published by intelligence agencies, such as Global Governance 2025, Global Trends 2025, and the 2025 Deagle Forecast on World Population...
Okay, I'm going to back that up one more time.
...which corresponds to, according to Thomas Horn... This will happen in 2025, which corresponds to several documents published by intelligence agencies, such as Global Governance 2025, Global Trends 2025, and the 2025 Deagle Forecast.
So they're predicting this age. Now, again, if it's Horus, the Aeon of Horus that we just heard about with Aleister Crowley, is this the end of the age of Pisces? And that's what they're saying it is, going into the age of Aquarius, where we're going to be, and again, this, whoever they call the Antichrist, they'll probably call him like reincarnated Ra, Horus, whatever. They'll probably take many names. I don't know, but it sure seems like a lot of stuff is coming together, potentially, from an occult standpoint.
On world population. NASA is notorious for performing Masonic rituals based on the Egyptian mystery schools.
Right.
Apollo being the same character as Horus, Sirius representing Isis, and Atlantis being the new golden age they hope to restore.
Mm-hmm.
And during the eclipse on April 8th, NASA will fire three rockets named after Apep, the Egyptian serpent god whose goal was to devour Ra, the sun.
Right. I mean, we keep hearing these same names, Ra, Horus, Apep, which is Apophos, Apophis, which is another one. Wow. I mean, that's another one that, you know, I do believe I've talked about in the past and is most likely heavily related to the days and times we're going into.
The sun reemerges after 3 minutes of darkness It will be likened to the rebirth of Horus,
right?
Their new king of the Golden Age.
Right, and I forgot he even said this about Horus. Their new king of the Golden Age. We just got done reading you that thing about Aleister Crowley and the age, the aeon of Horus. And I truly believe that I pray about these studies and I ask the Lord to lead me and how to present this to you in the most cohesive manner that flows the best way. And it's a little bit mind-blowing. Okay, this study, and I'm not going to take credit. I'll give the Lord all the credit for it, but kind of a little mind-blowing of what we've just covered so far.
CERN, known for practicing occult rituals at a statue of Shiva, the Hindu god who symbolizes death, destruction, and the end of an age, will be firing up their Large Hadron Collider,
the end of an age,
to full power during the solar eclipse. Exactly. And Israel, who is in the midst of committing genocide, is preparing to sacrifice a red heifer, a ritual sacrifice to prepare them for taking back the Temple Mount.
Red heifers, to be precise. Some Jews and Christians believe they're the key to rebuilding the historic Jewish temple.
Yeah, they are. They're only showing three.
Jerusalem, and to beckoning the Messiah. To understand, you have to go back nearly 2,000 years when the ancient Romans destroyed the last temple in the city. To rebuild it, these believers point to the Bible's Book of Numbers. It commands the Israelites to sacrifice a red heifer without defect or blemish, and that has never been under a yoke. Only then can the temple rise again. Those sacred cows were showcased in Washington at a recent prayer gathering. Many evangelicals believe these red heifers will usher Christ's second coming.
And we need the Messiah to come, right? So for me, the red heifer is red for the blood of Jesus Christ.
Absolute total blasphemy. The red heifer is red for the blood of Jesus Christ. That is absolutely total beyond blasphemous, what he just said. Whole bunch of so-called Christians getting together praying for this sacrifice to occur so they can get out of here via the pre-trib rapture. That's why they're there. Now, listen, I'm not getting into a debate about with anybody about pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib. I've done a whole study, three or four-part study on pre-trib versus post-trib. Okay? You can just key in tribulation. You'll find it. That's where I stand on it. But, and again, I'm not here to get in an argument about that, but I am telling you, and I have been around it, and I've been in the churches that I was in for many, many years, and so much of what motivated those people were, I just want to get out of here before the tribulation, make it all go away, get that temple built, get those red heifers sacrificed, so Jesus will come back prior to the tribulation so I can get out of here and I'm not going to have to suffer. That was their motivation. I'm telling you, I've been in several churches, whether it's Pentecostal or Baptist, okay, or charismatic. It's pretty much all the same across the board with that particular subject. And I don't think that that's how God would want us to view that. Even if, let's say, even if pre-trib's true, I don't think that's how God would want us to view that. Oh, I got to get out of here. I got to go. So let's give money to rebuild the wicked temple that's going to happen. Okay? Let's facilitate the red heifers. Let's do all this. Let's give money so that we can get this show on the road, get the Antichrist in power and the rebuilt temple that he can go in there and commit the abomination of desolation. And then that way I won't have to suffer. I'm not saying my listeners, I'm not accusing any of my listeners of viewing it that way. Okay? I'm not. But I'm telling you, I've been around a lot of people, and that guy right there, that blasphemous saying he just said about the blood of Christ and the red heifer, that's the mindset you run into. You know, whatever it takes, let's just get her done, you know?
Massive altar already away.
Yeah, the massive altar is already there.
Where the heifers are to be burned.
Yep.
According to some believers, the ceremony needs to be performed right here on the Mount of Olives, looking directly into where the temple once stood. But something else now stands in its place.
Once they forcibly take the Temple Mount away from billions of Muslims worldwide, it will predictably thrust the world into the peak of chaos that these secret societies have been.
That's most likely World War III right there. And listen, just because Israel backed off Gaza right now, or maybe even Iran backs off their retaliatory, who knows how that's going to end. But it doesn't change the fact that I do believe that whole Dome of the Rock, I don't see how it can still stand there for them to rebuild the temple. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. But this is a gigantic issue for Islam versus Judaism. Gigantic.
Designing for centuries. And their plan is to bring order out of this chaos.
Yep.
With their divine king to rule over the world.
Well, he won't be divine. Okay, so let's go further. This one then. 2025. A Christian reveals dangerous predictions and deceptions coming next year. Alice Bailey predicted 2025 would be the year the Ascended Masters would come out. And Alice Bailey, a wicked, evil woman who channeled entities in the early 1900s, okay? All the way back then, she predicted 2025 would be the year the Ascended Masters would come out of the shadows and reveal themselves to mankind. I mean, I can't even believe this information. The way it all just flowed together this week. Okay, I'm going to start a little bit earlier than I thought on this. I think he gives a little more breakdown on Alice Bailey. Now, you can key in Alice Bailey in the keyword search box. Again, I've done all kinds of studies on her. She is integral for what the occult is high level. Like Share International, the United Nations, Maitreya, all them. They point to her as one of the main persons that channels occult information from these Ascended Masters, and they've wrote it down, and her writings carry a lot of weight. Channeling means you're basically a conduit for these devils writing or talking through you.
Oh, Alice A. Bailey, often called the prophetess of the United Nations.
Right.
She has her influence from Blavatsky. Can you talk to
us? If you go up to Maitreya's website, you can still go up to Maitreya's website. It was for only UN-sponsored website for an Ascended Master. And you go to the recommended reading section. It'll take you to H.P. Blavatsky, that wicked witch, and Alice Bailey and other people. But those are the two of the main ones they'll refer you to.
A little bit about Alice A. Bailey before we move on to what she described as the externalization of the hierarchy.
She and Blavatsky and Crowley and these master occultists of the last 100+ years were channeling their works. They were receiving direct inspiration from Satan. Exactly. They refer to the demon entities of the Bible as the masters. And Alice A. Bailey, being a top UN occultist, again, Lucifer's Trust Publishing House,
yep,
later renamed Lucis Trust.
Exactly.
But Lucifer is that formerly holy angel, the light bearer, this one who was a guardian cherub right beside the Most High God in heaven. And the Bible says that he was lifted up because of his beauty. It says iniquity was found in him. He had been given the timbrels and pipes and the musical instruments, but he said, I will ascend. I will be above the other angels. This is Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. He says, I will be in the position of the Most High God. I will be like the Most High, is the direct quote from Isaiah 14. And so these occultists look to Lucifer as the master. They are Satanists. And they believe that what they call the Christ consciousness and the New Age was something of progress and enlightenment and advancement, but they're hearing a deception. So where this comes home for each and every one of us is Bible prophecy indicates that the sifting between the wheat and the weeds, those who are in Christ and saved and have eternal life versus those who are under a deception, receive a strong delusion and a lie, that is based upon the truth of God's word versus the deceptions of demon entities. So Alice A. Bailey is a key player in this, pointing again to 2025. She names that time period again and again and again in her writings. an externalization of the hierarchy in the raise and the initiation. And believe me, I've got some quotes from her, but I don't spend my evenings reading Alice A. Bailey beside the fireplace. I think you can overdo the expose side. I want to get myself focused on the truth of Jesus and his word. But when you get these whispers from what they are saying or from a Roger Morneau, I didn't mention him to you, but Roger Morneau was studying under one of the high priests of a satanic secret society in Montreal, Canada. This is in the post-World War II period. And he got a ton of intel from these guys, and they told him what kind of deceptions are planned. The folks watching this, I want to send you the Roger
Morneau. I apologize for the audio. I know there's some rattling in there. I don't have any control. It's the source of this
interview. I didn't think about sharing that, but just email me, scottritzema@gmail.com or beltoftruthministries@gmail.com. He did several multi-hour interviews that go back over 20 years now, but they are worth every minute for you to listen to Roger Morneau. I'll send you the links so you can hear what Bailey is saying. He's validating from the mouth of one of these high priests. By the way, Morneau became a Christian, came out from that, and that's why he wanted to blow the whistle on it. But
anyway, that's kind of an intro. Just to interject real quick, Roger Morneau, some of his stories were absolutely amazing. I think A Trip to the Supernatural was one of his titles of his books, but he definitely got the inside look of these occult clubs in Montreal, I believe it was. But please continue.
Yeah, he was a French Canadian, and just one of the things, when Alice A. Bailey says that the externalization of the hierarchy is going to happen, she said specifically that it's going to be, the date will have been set by 2025 for the first stage of the externalization of the hierarchy. That's a direct quote from her book, The Externalization of the Hierarchy. And what is she talking about? The hierarchy. We know from the Bible that that Satan is called the prince of this world. The prince of this world. He acquired dominion of this world through fraud, through deception with Adam and Eve at the tree. He claimed to Jesus up on the mountain, he said, I have been given all the kingdoms of this world, and they are mine to give to whom I want, and if you will bow down and worship me, I will give them to you. Now he's a liar and the father of lies. This is my father's world. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. But you do have a hierarchy of demon entities that are ruling much of the structure of power of this world. They're the ones that bring death and destruction, disease and famine, evil and tyranny, child sacrifice and human trafficking and all these dark things. And so when she's talking about the hierarchy, Alice Bailey is not talking about human beings, globalists, who are in the World Economic Forum and the Bilderberg and all of that. She's talking about the power behind that throne, Satan and the evil angels. And so she says the masters will walk openly in the visible plane of existence among man, and that the externalization, in other words, the unveiling, the uncloaking of that demonic hierarchy is going to be beginning in 2025.
Okay, now that's huge because it's confirming almost every single thing that we're talking about today. I mean, it's confirming the Aleister Crowley stuff that I talked to you about. They talked a lot about Horus. They're talking about this now externalization of the higher, the video we just played, where we're talking about the year 2025 and these government documents saying that, you know, this dawning of this new age, this, I believe, age of Horus, like they were, like Crowley referenced, going from the age of Pisces into the age of Aquarius. Will we see that? I'm, like I had said before, I monitor sites now that were not around a year ago that are just putting out gobs of everything UFO, paranormal, cryptozoological creature sightings, weird stuff going on in the sky, weird stuff going on in the sea, stuff you cannot explain. It's not, it can't all be AI generated. Just the weirdest stuff. And I truly believe these things are coming out of the shadows in preparation for this externalization of the hierarchy, this fallen angelic hierarchy, basically in human form, walking the earth, saying that there are gods, that there are original creators, that the Bible's wrong, that Jesus is one of them. He's known as Master Jesus, Ascended Master Jesus, or Esau Sananda Emmanuel. And he's one of the lesser Ascended Masters. And he's going to go to the Christians. He's going to look just like all those pictures on the walls and all the churches. And he's going to go to the Christian groups. And this is going to be at the same time the Antichrist and False Prophet, probably the same time as the World War III. We've got all the settings and stages are all set for it with this Temple Mount thing going on. That's not going to go away. And they got to get those sacrifices sacrificed. None of that's going to go away from a Judaism standpoint. The Muslims aren't going to back off. The stage could not be more primed and set. Will tomorrow, even if huge things don't occur, but will tomorrow be some type of linchpin on a spiritual level? Will it be the start of that whole thing in earnest? I've never seen a confluence of more things happen in a two-week period, like I said, than all these events that I'm trying to do a recap today. I'm not going to be able to get this done in one part. I'm going to have to stop after this one and then go to part two. I've never seen anything like it in all my years of ministry. So we've never been more primed for something like that to actually happen.
Now, that's where Morneau comes in. Roger Morneau has this from the Satanic Secret Society high priest, his own word on it. He said, the grand deception of the last days that's going to sweep in all of the masses. And Satan's desire is to deceive especially Christians, because he's got the world who are not believers in the word of God under a deception already. But he wants to deceive especially Christians. That's why I did a series, by the way, called Seven Deadly Myths in Christianity, a whole Bible prophecy teaching series. I'll send folks that. Just email me, scottritzema@gmail.com. But the deception that Roger Morneau's satanic high priest told him is the grand deception that he says people are going to eat this up is demon spirits declaring themselves in person, appearing and declaring themselves to be beings, inhabitants of other worlds. All of the alien
exactly hype,
and the Vatican yep saying we would baptize aliens.
Right.
You know, the Vatican, the Pope is putting this out. Yeah. You got to get your radar up and your red flags up and be discerning by the word of God. When you have Hillary Clinton showing so much interest in aliens, and then all of a sudden over the last year or so, it's hearings in Congress, and no, we have not ruled out that these unmanned aerial vehicles, UFOs are extraterrestrial. Right. They've never talked like this. Why are they promoting and pushing?
Exactly. And then again, these videos that I'm monitoring, I have never seen more. Some are tall grays, some are short grays, some are gray alien-like. More of these weird, creepy, alien-like creatures appearing in these videos that people are taking all over the world. Sometimes they're in the woods. Sometimes they're like in their house. Sometimes they're peeking out of here, there, and everywhere. This is all part of this whole disclosure plan that I've talked about for a very, very long time to prep humanity for this eventuality.
Concept, a grand deception is on the way. So when Bailey talks about demon spirits, the masters walking among men, the direct quote is, he says, it will be possible for the hierarchy to externalize itself and function openly upon the physical plane. The masters will walk openly among men.
Right.
This could have that fake alien element.
And they will appear in conjunction with these ascended with the Antichrist and false prophet, who they will point to. That's what's going to go down. And I that's the exact scenario. And guess what? A lot of people that you would have thought, oh no, Alex Jones would never send me in the wrong, oh no, Mike Adams would never, oh no, Trump would never, they're going to be on Team Evil. They already are on Team Evil. It's just good cop, bad cop. These are the good guys. These are the good aliens. These are actually our creators. Is what how they're going to portray themselves. We were their little science project they created millions of years ago. We've messed things up. They've got to come back to police their little science project. It's called the ancient astronaut theory. Key that in at contendingfortruth.com. Talked all about it. One of the big lies that Hollywood's given us through sci-fi is that exact thing. That they were our creators. That the God of the Bible's not really real. They are. They're creators. They're here to save humanity. And they're here to point people to the Antichrist and false prophet and the one world government. And people like Trump and Alex Jones and Mike Adams and a ton of people in alternative media and people like Roseanne Barr and Mike Flynn and the Freedom Doctor movement and so many of the New Agers they're yoking up with, they're all going to come together in one big happy family and point people to that exact thing. I'm telling you. It's the way I see it playing out. And I've talked about it for years, but it's coming clearer and clearer almost every teaching that I'm doing that is the way I believe things are going to shake out most likely.
It could have other manifestations and expressions as well, but that's one to definitely keep our eyes open for. But she called it 2025. She said, we've got to do a lot of propaganda. That's her word. Leading into 2025 right. For progress and getting this whole religious and economic and educational propaganda in place. And then she says the presence with a capital P, the masters with a capital M will be able to be attained in this our day.
It truly is chilling. That
you can key in also Ascended Masters. I've done so many studies on this subject. Maitreya, Ascended Masters, Master Jesus. You name it. I've done specific ones on different Ascended Masters and what, like their role in the deception.
She also names the year 2025. And even if these things don't come to pass from Deagle.com and others in the year 2025... you should still be a little worried that they're predicting that they're saying that the CIA, NATO, these intelligence groups, the International Monetary Fund are all saying that they believe that this is a proper projection of the future, not only populations, but where money is going to be and where it's going to be spent. But I'm so glad you had the details on Alice A. Bailey. I never made that connection to the extraterrestrial of the revelation of the hierarchy. We definitely know evil is working behind governments around the world and powers in high places. So let me ask you this, Scott Ritzema of Belt of Truth Ministries. Everyone should definitely stay tuned to his YouTube channel and beltoftruthministries.org to see I Will Not Be Moved, The Coming Crisis 2025 to 2030, where I'm sure he'll get into much more detail on many of the things mentioned here today. But let me ask you this. What is a message for those viewers that are with us that maybe are not...
Sorry, I don't know where that feedback's coming. It's not on my end.
...walking a Christian walk, but are interested in what we're talking about here. What message would you have for them about all this information and what to do with this information and where to turn to next? How would you talk to them as opposed to many of the viewers that are listening that are already Christians?
I think the first thing I would say is a lot of people hesitate on Bible, Christianity, etc., because of history and how it has been misused. And so people are, well, churches and, you know, they do inquisitions and Christianity is the cause of all these, you know, dark ages, genocides and scourges and restrictions on freedom and tortures. And yes, but that was not Christianity. If you give me the opportunity through that 14-part prophecy series, you will see that what is
now called- just as a caveat, I just clicked on this guy's website and he's saying all 10 commandments are just as applicable today. I'm assuming that means that he believes we need to be a Sabbath keeper because that's, you know, part of the Ten Commandments. And I do not believe that that is the case. I've done whole studies on Sunday versus Sabbath that you can key in. So just be careful. Just because I play somebody doesn't mean I endorse every single thing they're doing. And there's no possible way I can know every single thing about a particular ministry.
Christianity through the Dark Ages is the Bible calls it Antichrist. So just as one guy who holds a Bible in his hand, who loves Jesus, who loves to teach, my perspective that I want to share with those who are not a part of that Christian mindset is give the Bible a chance on its own terms. I'm not here. Biblical Christianity is not here to force or impose or coerce or mandate any faith upon anybody. If that is the mindset, the Bible calls that, again, Antichrist, the beast power, the little horn power. But then you got to let the Bible truly prove itself. Look at the prophecies that were predicted hundreds of years in advance, in some case over a thousand years in advance, and how specifically, historically, they transpired. In that series, I can show you that Jesus' first coming and when he was baptized and when he was crucified came exactly on time. Those were actual time prophecies. Brian, you were correct in saying, you know, the Bible doesn't predict when the second coming of Jesus is. No man knows the day or the hour. It says, be also ready, for at such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. So there are no more prophetic dates out into the future, but there were time prophecies in the Bible, and it pointed to this year, this time period, this season of this year, and every time it's fulfilled perfectly. So when I saw Bible prophecy, it's kind of like when you said, when I encountered how evil is, I realized there's got to be some substance to this thing called a biblical Christian faith, because that's where this teaching is clarified. For me, it was Bible prophecy. When I saw the prophecies that were fulfilled, I said, this had to be divine foreknowledge in order to be able to predict that. And then that tells me the Bible is inspired. And that tells me when Jesus' historical resurrection actually occurred, and you can validate that historically, because where else did Christianity pop out of from nowhere to become the biggest minority religion in the Roman Empire, people being willing to be killed for their faith, that they saw the resurrected Christ? We could go to all the apologetics and all the proofs of the validity of the scriptures, but ultimately at the end of the day, it's the picture of a God of love expressed through Jesus Christ that is so compelling that I can't just simply set that aside and say, you know what, I'm better than that, I'm smarter than that. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will show you something incredible and free you from fear, prepare you for the events that are coming upon the earth. So we don't have to have fear, but we lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. Because if all the prophetic evidences of the past transpired, then the next one, that Jesus does come the second time, is not just a pipe dream. It's logical and rational based on what we've seen in God's word previously.
Okay, so we have that. Now, I wish I could have got this done in one part, but I still got a long way to go. So God bless you, and we will see you in part two. And then I got to try to get this thing up as quick as possible. So it's going to be anticlimactic if I release this on the 9th. It's not going to be good, so... God bless, and we will see you in part 2.